This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. It is cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. And greetings, brethren. Welcome to the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 2005. And time still marches on, and we're going forward, and God is still on His throne, and the plan of God is being worked out according to His schedule, according to the way that the Father has planned it. And, of course, as we know, the holy days picture the plan of God. Now, why is it that the world does not understand what God is doing? Well, number one, they don't believe God. And number two, they don't keep the Sabbath. Number three, they don't keep the holy days. And when they read about the holy days, especially when they come to Leviticus 23, they say, well, these are all just ritual days, and so we don't have to keep them. Well, that's why I mentioned last time, if you don't have the tape, which came first, the ritual of the day, be sure and write in for it. And we also have it online, so you can download it there. But here, on this seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it is a special day, it is a holy day, and it is also a weekly Sabbath. Now, let's pick it up here again and just remind ourselves of it, Leviticus 23. And it says, verse 7, in the first day you shall have a holy convocation. And let me just mention this. The words holy convocation in the King James could very well be translated the appointed time. So what we're dealing with is this. God has set the appointed time. Now, we know this year that it is later than other years. But if you have noticed, winter in the Northern Hemisphere is a whole lot longer and a whole lot more severe, and that's why it is later. Because the calculated Hebrew calendar adjusts for the seasons automatically. And that shows that God gave the Hebrew calendar, calculated calendar, for us to use. It's a misnomer to call it a Jewish calendar. That's not so. So anyway, let's go on here. And it says, first day you shall have a holy convocation, do no servile work therein. Offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work. So today is that holy convocation. Now let's come back to Exodus 12 here for just a minute, and where we see the same thing, where God gave before the giving of the ritual offerings, He gave also the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now he says here, verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, that is Ba'erib, sunset, that's when the day begins, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 21st day of the month at even, that is as the day ends at sunset, so that's a full 7 days. And up in verse 16 it says, in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, an appointed time, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. So there we have the command given before the rituals at the temple were given. And besides, when you look at the operation of the Passover and Pentecost, all of that came before the giving of the law. Because the law was given on Pentecost, but the day came first. And God gave the commandments. And that's what, as we will see, is one of the memorials of keeping the Feast of Pentecost. So God gave us these days so that we might know His will and His truth. And part of it is that on all the holy days, we do take up an offering. And we take up this offering based upon how God has blessed us, based upon all the commandments that we know about giving offerings. And so, as I mentioned, the first holy day, you give this offering according to the blessings that God has given you. And so at this time, we'll go ahead and pause and take up the offering. And now, let's come to Exodus, the 14th chapter. Because this tells us the meaning of the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, all the holy days have meaning and purpose and understanding. The Passover, God passed over the firstborn, and he judged all the gods of Egypt. And that's important, as we saw, because what that does with the beginning of the Passover, and this is why the Passover is so important. All the holy days, the holidays, the gods of this world have been judged and condemned and killed, as it were, through all the plagues that God gave in Egypt, as well as the firstborn of the Egyptians and all of their beasts. So you need to always keep that in mind. Now, because God has rescued us and rescued the children of Israel out of Egypt, which is a type of sin, Satan doesn't give up on us. And so, as we covered in the first holy day, how to overcome the sin within, today we are going to learn how to overcome the sin that is without. How to overcome the attacks which come from Satan the devil. Now, we know in Exodus 14 that they came down by the Red Sea, and they were all encamped by the Red Sea in kind of a very long column there, because there wasn't much room going back, because there were mountains to the back of them. And we know that Pharaoh came with all his horses, all his chariots, and all of his men to come and recapture the children of Israel, to put them in bondage and slavery again. Now, God deliberately took them that way. And typical of what people do when the going gets tough. Because, you see, it's not easy being a Christian. And the going gets tough. And one of the battles that we constantly have to fight is the sin without by Satan the devil, as pictured here by Pharaoh and all of his soldiers. And look at the difference in the armament. They had swords, they had spears, they had chariots, they had trained soldiers. And here are the Israelites out there, just freed from slavery. They don't have any weapons, but they have the greatest weapon of all, and that's the thing we need to understand. And that greatest weapon of all was that God was on their side. Now, when they saw the Pharaoh drawing near, verse 10, children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and they saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now you see, here's one of the things that Satan wants to get you to do when the going gets tough. Accuse God. Now, never accuse God. Always remember this, as we will see. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, of course, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the faith. So then they said, verse 12, which was not true, but it was a lying self-justification. They said, isn't this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Well, it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. Now you see, here's the lesson for today. And it's a special and particular lesson, and we are going to expand this out on how we can fight the sin that comes outside of us, or the sin from without that's trying to get within. So Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Now, there will come a day in all of your problems and all of your difficulties that God will show himself strong on your behalf. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see no more again forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, that means this. If God is going to fight for you, don't accuse him. Wait on the Lord, as it says. He's going to fight. That is the key of this day. The only way we can fight Satan the devil is with the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, so we can conquer those battles that come to us, which are pressing from the outside. But you see, if we do not overcome, like is pointed out on the first holy day, the sins within, then you're going to be very vulnerable to the attacks from without. And Satan knows that. So then you know the rest of the story. God told Moses, you go stand on the edge of the Red Sea and you hold up your staff, and God caused a great wind to come that night and made it all dry and opened up a great huge way for the children of Israel to go. And at the same time, he protected the children of Israel by sending a cloud behind them, which was darkness to the Egyptians and light to the children of Israel. And so as the sun was coming up, they marched across the Red Sea in a miraculous and tremendous thing that God did for the children of Israel. You see, God will intervene and rescue us. And let me tell you the ultimate of the rescue that God is going to give to us, which will be the resurrection from the dead. So always keep that in mind. Now, let's come to Psalm 34, because we know that we're going to have troubles and difficulties. We know that Satan is there to try and put fear in us, to try and make us trepidatious, to try and turn us from God. And we're going to see that he's got all kinds of schemes and means and power to try and do so. But we need to rely on the power of God, not on our own strength. Now here's Psalm 34. This also tells us how we need to approach God so he will fight for us. Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, today a lot of people just live in fears. All kinds of fear. They worry. They fear. Instead of putting it in God's hands, instead of relying on God's way, that he's going to deliver, he's going to give the answer. Oh, yes, we need to be alert in how we need to handle ourselves and take care of situations. But if we are looking to God and seeking God, he'll provide the means and the way for us to do it. Now notice, they look to him. That's what we need to do. And were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his fears. Just like he did the children of Israel, standing there on the side of the Red Sea. Can you imagine what they thought, seeing all night the wind blowing and drying up the Red Sea? Probably to the space of about 10 miles. This was no just little rabbit in a hat trick. This was a fantastic miracle. And God did this to perpetually show that he will fight for us in whatever miracle is necessary. Delivered him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him and delivers them. Now you stop and think about how many times that you have been delivered from things, saved from things, where that it had to be an angel intervening to do it, because God sent the angels as ministering spirits for those who are called as heirs of salvation. And that's us. Now, here's one of the themes of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why we eat unleavened bread. And another thing that that many people have not thought of is this, is that the manna that was given to the children of Israel, which was given 6 days of the week, and then on the Sabbath, you had the manna given on the 6 day, so on the Sabbath they could keep it over and it wouldn't spoil. But that had to be unleavened, because those who kept the Passover during that time had to have some kind of bread. Well, the only bread they had was the manna, because they couldn't eat any grain until they came into the land, as we have seen, and waved the wave sheaf offering. Now, that's why we sent out to you the tape of the video that I did in 2000 about how the sequence of days run, when the first holy day is on a Sunday and the last holy day is on a Sabbath. So taste and see. Now, the unleavened bread then, let's look at it this way. The unleavened bread then is for the Passover, and unleavened bread, the feast thereof, is typical of the manna that God gave to the children of Israel. And it's also typical of eating the Word of God, because Jesus is what? The bread of life. So that's something that we need to understand and realize, see. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Now, we're going to see trusting in God is the most important thing that we need to do in overcoming the sin without, so it doesn't come in and attack us. We need to have, and we will see later in the book of Ephesians, all the armor of God to fight this spiritual battle, because it is a great spiritual battle. Now, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He knows you, and He knows you inside and out. And having the Spirit of God in you, He's dwelling in you, you see. And that is the true unleavenedness that comes from God, that Christ with His Spirit is in us. So His eyes are upon us, and His ears are open to their cry. God answers our prayers. He says He delights in our prayers. Verse 16, the opposite is of those who are evil. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So whatever the troubles that you have, bring them before the throne of God and ask for deliverance. And keep asking for that deliverance until God provides the way, which He will. And after all, that's the whole meaning of the word Exodus. In the Greek means out. Odos or hodos means the way. So it is the way out. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and none can come to the Father except through me. Delivers them out of all their troubles. Now notice, verse 18. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. So when you put everything in God's hands, then you are of a contrite spirit. Now notice, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not part of them, not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. Now, sometimes there will be difficulties that will go on for quite a while. But God promises that no one is going to be left desolate if they trust in Him. And so that's what this last feast day pictures. Now let's understand the spiritual warfare that we are in. And let's understand that Satan is busy, he is active, he is working. And we know from Revelation 12:9 that Satan the devil is deceiving the whole world. Now, what I want you to do is this. I want you to observe and just ask the question this. How much truth do you see in the world? In the news, the newspapers, the magazines, on television, or whatever. Now, it is a mixture of truth and error. That is true. But, you know, isn't it profound? And I think that we have more and more deception as we go along. Now, we also need to understand that Satan the devil has many, many agents out there and many means, especially today, to do his deceiving and to do his attacking from without. And Satan's trying to do it in the earliest years possible. So it's quite a world in which we are living. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And let's see the power of Satan the devil. Let's see how the world views him. Because you see, as we have learned by going through the series, Holidays versus Holy Days, by whose authority? You're under one of two authorities. You're under the authority of God the Father and Jesus Christ, and you love them and keep their commandments and serve them, or you're under the authority of Satan the devil, and you follow him and agree with the world and love the world and the pride of life, and you keep the holidays of this world. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Because we know, as we have seen, Satan is a liar, has been a liar from the beginning. So it is no wonder that his ministers deceitfully handle the Word of God. So they can go into the Word of God and take scriptures and make it look like they're teaching from the Word of God, but they're not. And when those attacks come from without, you better be strong within. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry of the service of the ministration of the Spirit and forgiveness of sin and so forth, as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted. For we have personally renounced the hidden things of dishonest gain. Now that's all part of repentance, isn't it? That you personally renounce all of those dishonest things that are within. That's why you have to start with the sin within before you can fight the sin without. Not walking in cunning craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. And that's what all the ministers who claim to be Christian, who are under the authority of Satan the devil, and Sunday and holiday keeping do. They handle the Word of God deceitfully. But my manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, in whom the God of this world, who is deceiving this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, because they believe a lie. And there is coming a time in this world, not too far down the road, when because people do not love the truth of God, God is going to turn them over to the great deception and the lie of the Antichrist, and it is coming. If I could use a Bible term, lo, it cometh. Blinds their minds. Now, when Satan blinds their minds, they don't say, oh, I've got a blinded mind. No. They say, oh, I am wise and intelligent. Just like as we saw with Adam and Eve. They said, oh, our minds are open. No. Their minds were really closed. So the same thing here, blinded. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, they have been blinded. They have been cut off. And Satan wants to come in and from the outside to get at us inside with his attacks so that we become blinded ourselves. And have we not seen that happen to how many brethren? When they heard all of these good-sounding arguments, that they had no answer for the deception and the lying of what Satan the devil brought and inspired. You know, that's why it's important you understand the Word of God and you live by the Word of God. So if someone comes preaching any other doctrine or any other thing, you're going to know it. Now, if you're not on top of it, then you could be subject to some of these things here. Verse 5, for we have not preached our own selves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's what it is with any true minister. He's not going to preach himself. How important is a man? Well, only if he speaks the truth. You know, and that's what it says there in Isaiah. If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. And the light that is in them is darkness. And as Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, that God has called us out of the darkness, hasn't he? And he is there to fight the battles for us. Well, let's look at the enemy, Satan the devil. Let's come to Ephesians, the second chapter. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Let's see how this world is. And let's add to it everything that Satan the devil has at his disposal. Radio, television, music, the educational system, the religious system, the entertainment system. All of those forces are out there just coming in. Now also, we need to understand that Satan the devil has television and the internet. And now, the cellular phone, that he can send any message to anyone, anywhere in the world who wants to receive it, regardless of the sin or the filth. They can now import to their cellular phone pornography sites with the worst pornography possible. And all of those things are there. Now, I don't know how many of you have DirecTV. It's not wrong to have DirecTV. I don't have one, but my son David has one, and I sat there and went through all 200 channels that he has. And it was quite something. You know what I concluded? There is nothing on. All of it motivated by Satan. Now also think about this. How much of it is cast around the occult? 99% of it. Why? To keep people in darkness and indoctrinated in Satan's way. Now, in addition to these things that I mentioned, Satan has his own personal spirit and power and demons to also come in to interfere and attack. Now, I don't want you to take an attitude of being afraid, because that's not the purpose of this sermon. The purpose of this sermon is to let you know who the enemy is, because if you don't know who the enemy is, you don't know how to fight the enemy. And remember this, we're going to see Christ is the one who will fight for us, as it says there in Exodus 14. God will fight for you if you are on God's side. And that's why repentance is so important. Not repentance with flattery as the children of Israel did. So he had to come in and kill some before they wake up and have some kind of sincere repentance. No, deep and profound repentance. God will be there with you and fight your battle for you. Now notice, let's come here to Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 2, in which you walked in time past according to the course of this world. You were part and parcel of this world, part and parcel of this society. You did those things of the world, lived of the world, acted of the world. And maybe you were involved in many things of the baser parts of the world, involved in illicit sex, involved in illicit drugs, involved in alcoholism and drunkenness. All of those things to pull you down. And those things have made you weaker inside and more vulnerable to attacks unless you stay strong with God. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And Satan, as I said, has all these helpers. And where do they come from? They come out of the air, don't they? Yes. The spirit that now is now working within the children of disobedience, among whom we all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh, doing the things that were willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. But God has called you, and God loves you. And we're going to see God has provided the tools and the power to overcome. Now, here's what we need to do concerning this world and the course of this world. Let's come to 1 John, the second chapter. And let's see how it needs to be first, and it starts out, as we have seen, with the love of God. That's why the love of God is so important. That's why God does not want us to get bogged down into a religious thing of do's and don'ts. And those physical laws then become the paramount importance. See, you have to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. And when you do, then you can look at the world and see the world for what it is. Now here in 1 John, the second chapter, and verse 15. And in loving God, that has to be single-hearted, single-minded, and with spiritual purpose and intent. And yes, with zeal. Not oh-hum, not lukewarm. And when that happens, then you can look at the world and do just like John says here in 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the opposite is true then, isn't it? If you love the Father, if you love Jesus Christ, then you're not going to be loving the world. Yes, you're going to sigh and cry and groan and moan that the world is in the shape that it is in, but you are going to help bring the solution when Christ returns. So keep your mind on that. Verse 16. Because everything that is in the world, and this is how Satan works, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of physical life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Now, what you need to do is this. Take this one verse here, verse 16, and write it out, set it before you, while you watch television. Do some channel surfing. Do some evaluation. And maybe give yourself a little grading score from 0 to 10. And you're probably going to find that almost everything on television is going to be somewhere 7 to 10. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pretentious pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Now notice, and the world and the lust, its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of the Father abides forever. So there we have, that's the way we need to look at the world. Now, let's come to Colossians, the first chapter, and let's see also some of the things that affect us, and what Paul said, how we were before God called us, and that we were actually enemies of God in our mind. Now, verse 21 of Colossians, the first chapter. Now, this is what we were previously, okay, before God called us. For you were once, verse 21 now, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, because you have the carnal mind. Carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But now he has reconciled you to God the Father. Now let's look and see what we need to do. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. Come back to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And let's see the whole process. It's laid out here. God gave it to us. Now we can apply this spiritually. See, what we do, remember how we went through the sermons on the law of Moses with the veil lifted or without the veil. Well, here we have the same thing in the Psalms and the Proverbs and also the prophets, how we can see the spiritual application of what God is doing for us. Now let's begin here in verse 14. Basic understanding what we need to do. Now, let's also understand this, that they know that if you allow things into your mind from without, sooner or later you're going to be doing whatever is coming into your mind. That's important to understand. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Don't be like the world. That's all part of loving the world. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Get out of the way. You know, that's New Testament doctrine. You know, the safest way to avoid adultery and fornication, God says, flee. Get away. Run away from it. Don't fill your mind with pornography. Don't fill your stomach with booze. Don't fill your bloodstream with drugs. Avoid it, pass away, see? For they sleep not, and yes, people stay up nights trying to figure out how to carry out evil. Except they have done mischief, their sleep is taken away, unless they have caused some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. And that's what needs to be with us and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. Okay. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. They don't know what the problem is. Just like the world today. Get rid of the commandments of God. Oh, but we have a society that's filled with murder and pornography and adultery and lying and cheating and stealing and all of this sort of thing, but we can't teach the Ten Commandments and we can't have the monument of the Ten Commandments. Well, the truth is, they'll never have a society that will function even in the letter of the law, unless they teach the Ten Commandments. So it shows how schizophrenic that the carnal mind is. The one ain't rules and regulation. Boy, when things get bad, you moan and groan. Oh, we know how this goes. Okay? Now, verse 20. My son, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Now, you're son of God, aren't you? You have the Spirit of God. Okay, take this as instruction from God. Your Father in heaven above. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now here's the key, verse 23. In order to fight the sin without, you have got to prepare your heart and mind to resist and to not give in to temptations which come from the world, which come from Satan, which come to try and enter into you. And it's just like leaven that is in the air, trying to come in and leaven you with sin. Remember this, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, or you could put it this way, guard the door of your mind. Now that's how you fight the sin that is without. You don't let it come in. For out of it, the heart, the mind, are the issues of life. Not spiritual life, physical life. Spiritual death, physical death. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, straight ahead. And let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left hand. Remove your foot from evil. Now that's walking in the way of the Lord. Now let's add the Spirit of God to that, because that's how we are supposed to do. See, that's how we are supposed to function. Now that's really tremendous when we understand it. Now, we know this, that the world today, Paul wrote to Timothy and said that there are deceivers who are deceiving one another and growing more deceitful every day. And that Satan, the devil, is out there, and those who give in, he devours according to his own will. Because they weren't able to resist the attacks from without. That's important for us to understand and realize, because this tells us how we are going to fight. And let's understand this. You are going to have battles with Satan, the devil. You're guaranteed that. And living in this world, you can be sure that it is going to happen. Now let's come to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And let's see how we are to approach this. Let's see how we are to fight this spiritual battle with the help of God, with the power of God, with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, and with a conviction and determination that we need to supply. See, we're not just passive robots. And God has made it so that we have nothing to do. Listen, brethren, we have everything to do. Because in doing it, we build the character of God. In doing it, we build the strength of God. In doing it, we're guarding the door of our minds. In doing it, we're resisting Satan, the devil. And we are fighting against his battle, and we, against his battles against us. And we need to understand that Satan is there battling, fighting, warring, tempting, enticing, deceiving, making things look good, and wanting to get you to leave God. Now that's the battle from without that we have to fight. And we'll see here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, just exactly how we need to fight it. And we will also see that there is a promise in overcoming. And we will also see that God will help us and establish us. So you put all of these scriptures together, and this gives you, as we will see through this sermon, how to fight the sin without. Those things that Satan sends after us. The battle against Satan, this world, and the demons. Let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. So what Jesus told Peter, after Peter heard Jesus tell him that he was going up to Jerusalem and be killed by the elders and the chief priests, he said, "Oh, far be it from you, Lord." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Get you behind me, Satan. You savor not the things of God, but the things which be of men." Satan was after him there. And remember what Jesus said when Peter said that he wouldn't deny him. He would even die with him. He said, "You're going to deny me before the crow, before the cock crows twice." And he said to him, Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed that your faith fail not." So when Peter writes about this, he knows, because he has experienced Satan coming after him. So he says, verse 6, 1 Peter 5, "Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time." Vanity is one of the key openings that gives Satan the entrance from without to within. Verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And this ties right in with Psalm 34, right? Yes. So whatever your cares, whatever your difficulties, bring them before God, because he loves you and cares for you. "Be sober," spiritually, physically. "Don't be drinking of the wine of the cup of the fornication of this great Babylonian religious system that's in the world today. Be sober. Be vigilant." Not oh-hum, not half-hearted, not whenever you feel like it, but vigilant. "For your adversary, the devil." Now, he is our adversary. He's against God. He's a liar. He's a schemer. He wants to come from without to get you to agree with him and take you away from God. That's his purpose. But you see, when we have the understanding of the meaning of the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we know that God will fight for us. We know that any enemy can be overcome. Satan the devil can be overcome. Now, for your adversary the devil is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, not wavering, not doubting, not hesitating, not accusing God, not feeling sorry for the self, but steadfast in the faith. You cannot fight against Satan the devil on his terms. You have to fight against him with the faith of God, the faith of Christ in you, the love of God, as we have seen. If you love God, then you're not going to love the world, knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Now come to Revelation 12 and let's see something very important, because it also shows not only is Satan deceiving this world, but it shows how we overcome Satan the devil. And here is an attitude of mind that we need to have. Now it says, right here, let's begin in verse 9. We'll just review this verse again. "And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him." There are our adversaries listed right there. "And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, who accuses them day and night before our God. See, that's why we're under the grace of God. Because Satan is there before God saying, look it, look it, look it, look it, look it, look it. And we know we have enough sin and imperfections that we need to be forgiven all the time. That's why Christ said, every day, ask God to forgive your sins. Every day, forgive those who have something against you. Every day, because he don't let it build up. Get rid of it every day. And he says in another place, don't let your wrath, let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed with anger and hatred and bitterness. Those are all the leavens of Satan that come from within. And if you have those within, then he's going to use those things to attack you from without. And you won't have the will to resist. Another verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Because Christ overcame Satan the devil. He conquered the principalities, the powers, and Satan the devil through the crucifixion and resurrection. That battle and victory has been won. And to overcome means to be victorious. You can overcome Satan the devil. It says so right here, through the blood of the Lamb, through his sacrifice, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and through the word of their testimony. You have to stand for the truth. You have to know the truth. You have to testify of the truth. And your life has to be a living testimony of Christ in you. And they love not their lives unto death. Now that's how you overcome Satan the devil. Resist in the faith. Stand in the grace of God. Use the blood of Christ and your testimony, and love not your life unto death. You love God more than anything that there is. Now, let's come back here to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And let's see how we are to fight. Now, we do have the battle within. That's one battle. We also have the battle without. So we have two sources of sin to fight. Those things that are within and those that come from without. Now, God has given us the protection. God wants us to be in a spiritual, how should we say, a spiritual shield that covers us from head to toe. And there's the way that it is done. Let's come back to Ephesians 6. And let's pick it up here beginning in verse 10. This is what Paul says that needs to be done to fight against these warring powers of Satan the devil coming against us. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength or power. See, because of ourselves, we don't have the power to do it. But with the Holy Spirit, we do. With Christ in us, we do. With the blood of Christ, we do. With resisting in the faith, we do. We do have that power to do so. And it's important to realize that this strength comes from God and comes from God alone. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, we're going to examine that in just a little bit. So that you may be able to stand, just like it says back there in Exodus 14, stand, you see, against the wiles of the devil. Now, we're not to be ignorant of his devices. We are not to be ignorant of the things and the ways that he uses. He uses the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and temptation and lies and deception. Those are all of his wiles, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Now, we have to wrestle against our flesh and blood. That is true. Satan does use people, flesh and blood people, to accomplish his work and his will. But it is not the flesh and blood that we are fighting. It is the power and the spiritual power of Satan behind it. But against principalities who have been overcome by Christ. Against powers. against the world rulers of the darkness of this age. So we have a mighty battle, and Christ is using us in that battle. Not that we go out and think we can politically change this world. Because you see, everything that is politics in this world is of the world and is going to fail and perish and is of Satan the devil, regardless of how righteous the cause may appear. Now, there are some who have part of the truth and they fight abortion. There are some who are against pornography and illegal sex. That's true. But that's not the whole battle. That's just part of the battle. See, what needs to be changed is who rules the world. And until Satan is removed and Christ comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you're not going to be able to change very much by political things. Oh, you may be able to make some little changes here or some little changes there, but you're not going to change the world because it's Satan's world. Against spiritual power, the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. That's where it comes from, high places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having worked out all things to stand. Stand, therefore. Now, he says it three times. What is the saying? If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything? Let's rephrase it. If you don't stand for God and with God and for God, you're going to stand and fall with Satan the devil. Need to understand that. That's just the way it is. And we have to put it in these terms, spiritually speaking, because that's the way it is in the world. And that's the reality, the spiritual reality that we have to face. Okay? Stand, having your loins girt about with the truth. That's why you study the Word of God. That's why you know the Word of God. That's why you walk in the way of God. That's why you live in the way of God and have the righteousness of Christ. And having the breastplate of righteousness to cover all the vital organs of your body. So he can't get to your heart. So he can't get to your mind. So he can't get to your innards. That's why you have that. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always doing the will of God. Always doing what you can to further the gospel. Besides all these things, take up the shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith is likened to whatever armor they had in fighting in those days. They would have a shield where they would put their arm, and then the shield, whether big or small, they could put it in front of them. So when arrows would come, and the worst kind of arrows were the flaming arrows, where they would dip them in pitch. And it's been known that they've been able to set whole cities on fire when the armies gathered around these small cities, that all the infantry soldiers would take their arrows and dip them in pitch, and imagine 1,000 soldiers who have done this. And they have a whole lot of these arrows. And they start shooting them high in the air, and they come and land in the villages and land on the thatched roofs and land wherever there is anything combustible. And they shoot many, 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 many of these arrows in, and the whole town becomes a conflagration and burns to the ground. Now, liken the temptations that come from Satan the devil from without, like those fiery missiles. Because that's what it's talking about here. It says the shield of faith, so you can deflect all of them. With which you're able, you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You're not going to succumb to the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. You can extinguish those arrows and put on the helmet of salvation. Don't let them get to your mind. Guard the door of your mind. Put in your mind the Word of God. Put in your mind the truth of God. Grow and develop the Spirit of God within your mind by love, by truth, by obedience, you see. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now see, all of these things are the whole armor of God, so that you are protected from head to toe, so that there is no entrance that Satan can use to get to you. Now there's only one thing that is not protected, and that is your backside. And God is the only one who can protect you there. It also has this analogy. If you turn your back on God, you have no protection. Let's finish up here. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. You pray to God every day, not only in prayer where you're on your knees, but whatever you're doing, wherever you are going, that God is there to help you. You say, help me, God. Here comes a temptation. Let me get it out of my mind. Don't let that come into me. Help me. Protect me. Guide me. Watch over me. Lead me. That's what it means to pray without ceasing, see. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and in everything being watchful with all perseverance, not letting up, not slacking up, being diligent, and supplication for all the saints. Not just for you, but for all the saints. Because as Peter said, Satan is out there trying to go after all the brethren, right? Yes. Who are the enemies of Satan, the devil? We are. Who is the most vulnerable? We are. So that's why we have to have all of this armor of God to fight the battle without from keeping the sin from coming within. Now, let's see how we rely on the strength and the power of God. Let's come to the book of Psalms. There are quite a few psalms that we will read here. Let's come back and let's begin here in Psalm 18. And we need to, this is putting all the power of the things that we just read of into force. Now we'll see how all of this comes into action and how God fights for us. Now, Psalm 18 and verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. He's our strength, but see, it comes from love first. That's why we have to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. Then we won't love the world. It's that simple. And if we're overcoming the sin within and have the protection without, then Satan can't come within. And he can't attack us. And we can't be shot down by any of his missiles. Now notice, the Lord is my rock. Put in your margin there Matthew 7. You build on the rock. And the rains come and the flood comes and the wind blows and you don't fall. But if you build on the sand, lo and behold, the day is coming. The rain's going to come, the flood's going to come, the wind's going to come, and poof, it's gone. He is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. That's interesting, high tower, isn't it? Way you get away from it all is get into the high tower of God, right? If you're in a battle and there's a high tower, and no one can get to you. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The ones without, Satan the devil. Okay. Now over here, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. You know, this settles a lot of issues when you come to understand that. A lot of people are, and one of the tactics of Satan, the devil, to try and get you is this. Take a scripture here and a scripture there and let them fight each other. And let that create doubt. And let that give a conflict. And then sure enough, someone is going to come along, some minister, some preacher is going to come along, and he is going to provide the way then which is going to take you away from God. See, if you know that his way is perfect, and the word of God is tried, and it's perfect, and if you trust and rely on that, that's your hope. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. See, God can make your way perfect through the power of the Spirit of God, through you using the Spirit of God and walking in the way of God and changing and growing and overcoming and keeping the armor of God on you. He makes my feet like hinds feet, in other words, quickly get out of the way when danger comes. He sets me on high places when the flood comes. He teaches my hands to war, the war and fight against Satan the devil, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. You have also given me the shield of salvation. This is where Paul got all of this. All the things that he wrote of there in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, come right out of the Old Testament. He just rewords it a little bit, you see. And your right hand has held me up, and your gentleness has made me great. Now, that's something. Tell you what you do. If you have a great battle that you're fighting, or if you have a particular difficulty that you are in, or if you are fighting a spiritual battle that you don't know how to get a hold of, go to God, repent, yield to him, ask God to help you really love him with all your heart, mind, and soul and being. Ask for the strength of his Spirit and get on your knees and take these psalms that we're covering and ask God to give you the strength. That will be a life-changing experience for you. Well, that's what you need to do. Now let's come over here. Psalm 24. Now here it talks about Christ. He's at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven above. And Psalm 24 talks about how Christ, when he ascended to the Father to be accepted as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, walked into the everlasting doors. Now, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. For the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. See, Christ will fight our battles for us. That's the promise that God gave, isn't it? Going clear back even to the children of Israel. Hold your peace, don't complain, put it in God's hands, and he will fight your battle for you. You have to do your part. But he will fight for you. Here, let's come to Psalm 61. Now, all of these psalms are profound and important in growing and overcoming. You see, because if you are strengthened within with the Spirit of God, then, and you have on the whole armor of God through prayer, through study, through living by the Word of God, through constantly going in the way of God, see, then you will be able to fight the attack from without. You'll be able to recognize it. You will be able to understand the wiles of the devil, and you will be able to use the shield of faith to ward off all the fiery darts of Satan the devil. Now, Psalm 61, quite a psalm. Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto you. Doesn't matter where you are. When my heart is overwhelmed, and I'll tell you what, every single one of us is going to come to a point that our hearts are overwhelmed. God is going to bring us through trials and difficulties so that it is overwhelming to us. For what purpose? For us to look to Him. That's why. How are we going to grow and overcome unless that happens? How are we going to be able to stand against all the difficulties and problems that we face unless we learn to rely on God? So when our hearts are overwhelmed, ask God to do this. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is Christ. For you have been my shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of your wings. Trusting in God, He will fight that battle for you. Now let's come here to Psalm 71, just a few pages over. See, all of these things are there for us to learn. This is why we have the Word of God. See, that's why it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you don't use the Word of God, you're not going to be able to fight that spiritual battle. You're not going to be able to confront the sins from without that are trying to come in. And if you have too many sins within that you're not overcoming, then you're not going to be able to fight the sins from without that are coming in, and you're going to be overwhelmed with both. Now, Psalm 71 in verse 1. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. See, trust in the Lord at all times. See, not just when you're in trouble. Not when you think things are a little difficult. But all times, the good, the bad, the difficult, the easy. And cause me to escape. Incline your ear unto me and save me. You be my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Now see, if you have the Spirit of God, have you ever thought of it this way? God has given the commandment for your salvation. And He's there to help you in everything. For you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of unrighteous and cruel men. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Tremendous. Look at the strength that you can get from that. If you go to God on your knees and say, O God, I lay out before you all these problems and difficulties and things are too overwhelming for me, but I trust in you. And don't let me be put to confusion. When you understand, God is not the author of confusion, but Satan, you see. And you trust in His righteousness to deliver you. He'll do it. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now let's come to Psalm 21. Psalm 21. These psalms are really tremendous. This is why David was a man after God's heart. Because he understood the things and was put through the experiences that we have here, that we see here, so that we can get strength from it. Now, Psalm 21. Psalm 21. Let's pick it up right here in verse 1. We'll take verse 1 and 2. The king shall joy in your strength, O Lord. Joy in the strength of God. That's what he's saying. And in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withholden the request of his lips. Now you see what happens when you take that attitude and rely on the strength of God. Not your own, see. We're weak against Satan the devil. That's why Jesus had to say, Peter, I have prayed that your faith be strengthened because Satan has tried to sift you like wheat. Now let's look at one more psalm here. Psalm 27. A few pages over. Psalm 27. There we go. Verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now you stop and think. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus is our Savior, isn't he? Whom shall I fear? You don't have to fear anything. You do not have to fear Satan, the devil, and the demons. You do not have to fear what this society is trying to do to you. You can overcome it. You can close the door on it through Christ. The Lord is the strength of my life. Not your own vanity, not your own schemes. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though the host should encompass against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired, he says, of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. Now think about this. Here's a perfect example. The best way that you keep yourself and your life oriented in the right direction is to have your mind on Christ, in loving God the Father and Jesus Christ, and have your mind on the goal to be in the kingdom of God. When you have that goal, when you have that spiritual focus, when you have that attitude, when you put yourself into it and let God's Spirit work with you, you will grow, you will change, you will overcome, and these temptations that are coming from without and Satan's attack from without, you can resist and put away from you. Verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. That is all the armor of God, which the Greek word there is panoply, like a great umbrella to cover you. And that's what a pavilion is. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Now that's tremendous. Let's look at one other thing here. Let's come to Proverbs 24, and use this as a way of encouragement. Proverbs 24. And let's pick it up here in verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now consider that. Don't faint, that is, get weak and give up. Another way of putting it is faint-hearted or fearful. See, have the strength of God, not your own strength. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. It'll never happen. Now, Let's see how the Apostle Paul did. Let's see what he said. Let's come back here to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Let's see what Paul had to go through. Now remember, Paul was put through a lot of things. And Christ told him when he called him that he was going to show him the things that he had to suffer. And he suffered perhaps more than any of the other apostles. He had to fight without. He had to fight within. He had false brethren, false apostles, carnal people to deal with. And it's all recorded in all of his epistles. But he says this. Verse 14, 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. He names this man who was there in Ephesians, in Ephesus rather, who was a copper and silversmith who made idols, and because of so many thousands of conversions by the Apostle Paul, he nearly went bankrupt with all the idol makers. So he was after Paul to kill him. And here it looks like he had him arrested and thrown into the lion's den. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did many evil things against me. May the Lord reward him according to his works. Now this is how you pray for your enemies. Put it all in God's hands. Let God do the rewarding according to the works. And that way, you're still loving your enemy, but putting him in God's hands. You also be on guard against him, because he vehemently opposed our words. During my first defense, no one stood with me. Instead, everyone deserted me. Now, there's going to come a time when you're going to feel like you've been deserted by everyone. That's so you can trust in God. That's why. It's like the Apostle Paul here. And he said, I pray that God will not lay it to their charge. But the Lord stood by me. So if everyone deserts you, God is going to stand by you. And strengthen me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully made, and all the Gentiles might hear the gospel, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. So apparently Alexander the coppersmith had him arrested, thrown in prison, and no one came to his defense. He was thrown out there to the lions, and God delivered him. So it got right down to the last minute, didn't it? Instead of coming, eating him up, I wonder if it was like this. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Nice kitty. Who knows? Verse 18. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed, and will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the power into the ages of eternity. Amen. So this is a summary of how Paul lived what he wrote. And God acted in his life to do the things for him, to fight for him when he was deserted and alone. And every one of us are going to have to go through that time. Now let's come to Ephesians 3. Let's see what we need to do. Let's see how we need to do it. Let's see the promises that God gives. Let's see the inner weapons that we have, the inner defense that the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the power of God in us will perform for us. And how we need the strength of God so that He will fight our battles for us. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11, Ephesians 3. According to his eternal purpose. And that's what we are into, brethren. God's eternal purpose. We're a part of it. We're part of God's plan, part of God's calling, part of the coming kingdom of God. We are part of his church now, of whom Jesus is the head, which he has wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own faith. So then I beseech you, he's writing to the brethren, not to faint at my tribulations which are for you, which are working for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. See, when you fight those sins from within, as we covered on the first holy day, then you have the strength and the armor to fight and resist the sins from without, which are instigated by the world and Satan the devil, which come at you all the time. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you have that strength and that power through God's Spirit by faith. And that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it is the mind of Christ within you that is working, you see. And that being rooted and grounded in love, the love of God, that's where you are. That's how you are steady. That's how you are sure. That's how you are righteous through Christ, you see. And that you may fully comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, so you can know the plan and purpose of God. That's what God wants you to understand and realize, you see. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses human knowledge, to understand that he died for you and was crucified for you because he loved you. And he has called you. And God the Father and Jesus Christ have given you of his Spirit and of his Word and of his truth and of his goodness, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, to be in the kingdom of God, completely unleavened. But we have this battle that is before us to fight, which this last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures. Satan is out there like Pharaoh and his armies coming after us. But we can conquer, we can overcome, we can fight it with the help of God, the power of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. Now remember, in all your prayers, remember this, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us, claim that promise. Put on the full armor of God. Use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and stand. Stand and let Christ fight for you. That's how you overcome the sin without. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6B5B2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981, Nigeria, Post Office Box 1174, UYO, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willore, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.